Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
My name is Joseph Krolikowski. I'm the QMS Program Manager for Perry Johnson Registrars. I'd like to welcome you to our webinar presentation today, Virtual Audits, Explaining PJR's Approach and Expectations. Our topics for today, we're going to have a little bit of background on where all of these requirements come from. We're going to explore a virtual audit policy as it's been established by the industry at large. We're going to talk about what PJR does in analyzing critical information to ensure that a virtual audit is possible and meets with the requirements for a virtual audit. We'll talk about what the different options are depending on what type of audit we have to perform. I'm going to walk you through the virtual interface aspect of it step by step. We'll go over some expectations for audit reports and impact on nonconformances, a couple concluding remarks, and then your questions. Now, obviously, I don't think I need to tell anyone this. We've been in the thick of the pandemic now for a little under a year. Dial the clock back to March 2020 was when we had the biggest change in all of our lives. We still have several states with mandates in effect in terms of permitted gatherings. We are still seeing issues with flight availability and even some hotels remaining closed. So a lot of impact in terms of putting people on the road and visiting a facility for audit. A lot of our clients have told us that they have, for example, a no visitor policy, that their operations have been reduced, and so forth. So this has obviously impacted our ability to perform an audit. Now, in terms of policy on remote auditing, PJR, throughout the pandemic, we have built our policy on two key documents from the IAF, the International Accreditation Forum. And we've done this because we need to make sure that we are staying in accordance with all of the industry requirements and therefore avoid repercussions later when we get assessed by the ANAB or UCAS or any of the other accreditation bodies. So those two documents, now both of these are public domain. If you want to review these documents yourself, all you have to do is do a Google search for these and download them. These are IAF ID3, that stands for Informative Document 3, Management of Extraordinary Event or Circumstances Affecting, that's accreditation bodies, certification assessment bodies or certified organizations, and then IAF MD or Mandatory Document 4. The use of information and communications technology, or ICT, for auditing and assessment purposes. Now, both ID3 and MD4 require that PJR make contact with the client and conduct what they refer to as a risk-based assessment of whether or not the virtual audit is possible. So this is supposed to be a recorded assessment, something that we can produce later upon request. And what we've come up with to capture this is a document called the F108 ICT, the Virtual Audit Questionnaire. So let's take a look at that document now. The F108 ICT is made up of four questions, and I've got them all on screen right now. First, we want to find out if GoToMeeting is acceptable for you to use to conduct the virtual audit. And if not, please specify what you would prefer to use. We need to know if your management system supports a virtual audit. Are your records electronic, or even most of your records electronic? Are you going to be actively manufacturing product at the time of your audit? Or if you are a service-based company, are you going to be performing your primary service activity at the time of the audit? And then lastly, do you have the hardware and Wi-Fi coverage or cell phone signal coverage to audit all of the areas? Can we get out to production if production needs to be reviewed? Is it okay for us to review production areas during a virtual audit that they would be live streamed to the auditor? Now, there's a couple of key takeaways from this. First of all, GoToMeeting is not compulsory. When we got started on this back in March, PJR made a business decision to invest in GoToMeeting. We had prior experience with GoToMeeting, and we felt that a number of our team members had experience with GoToMeeting, and so that was what we went with in terms of how we would provide software for remote assessment. However, it's absolutely not compulsory. If you as an organization are more comfortable with something like Skype for Business or Microsoft Teams or Zoom or Google Meet, all of these are considered acceptable. The only platform that we will not accept is the free personal version of Skype. At the present time, that's the only one we strictly do not allow. The other key takeaway, obviously, is that our client has to have a minimum ability to support a virtual audit on their end. Now, we have tried to be as flexible as we can be on this, especially if the audit that is to be performed is a surveillance audit. The intent is that as long as there's enough for our auditor to look at to meet the audit program management requirements, in most cases, it'll be considered satisfactory. So what does this mean, this business of can the audit be supported? Well, there's a few things at play here. What's the availability and speed of your internet connection? What is the propensity of electronic records? And how comfortable are your staff members in communicating virtually? Now, it's obviously a year into this thing, we're probably all of us a lot more comfortable than we were before. But this is part of why we're asking that question in the manner that we are. Now, one important thing that we need to point out, and that is what a virtual audit is not. A virtual audit is not simply emailing everything to your auditor and saying, okay, I'll talk to you in 4 hours. That is offsite auditing. Now, offsite auditing has a place in the work that we do. It's used in some cases for stage one assessment. Sometimes it's used for revisit assessments on major nonconformances, but it is not a substitute for the on-site audit time. And one of the other things that this raises concerns over from an accreditation perspective is the IAF requirement in MD4, which says that adequate controls have to be in place to avoid abuses that could compromise the integrity of the audit or assessment process. And one of the ways that that statement is interpreted is that if the auditee, the client, is selecting all of the audit samples themselves, PJR is not meeting that requirement. Now, that includes circumstances where the client is giving the auditor everything on Dropbox or Google Drive. For the audit to truly be virtual and therefore meet the requirements from the IAF and the ISO, the technique that's used has to permit the auditor to assess the system with the same rigor and technique as if they were physically present in the facility. You know, all of the auditing techniques, random sampling and so forth, these are still in effect. These are still in play in a virtual assessment. So again, offsite auditing and virtual auditing, not the same thing. Now, ID3 indicates that PJR is required to establish its own policies on the timely completion of audits. And that's also the requirement that is raised in ISO 17021 subsection 9. So our position is that if a virtual audit is possible, if it can be done, our policy is that the audit must be done using the virtual method, and it must take place on time in accordance with established program and schedules. Now, you know, we've been saying this for some time now, but it's important to remember, we're a year into this thing now. You know, I can remember in March thinking, probably very naively, that it might take 6 months to get past the state that we were in. And perhaps some of our clients felt the same. So we have to accept that remote auditing is an inevitability right now and work within that. And also that as things slowly get back to normal, we are not going to be in a position to guarantee an on-site audit on time. So again, as best we are able, we need to all work within the idea that audits need to take place on time, and if they can go remotely, that they should be going remotely. Now, there have been situations where we have concluded that a virtual audit is not possible. We have had remarkable success running virtual audits with all types of different clients. There have been circumstances from time to time where we've concluded that it will simply not work. Now, if that decision is reached in your case, ID3 gives some additional guidance on how you can proceed. So let's go over what that guidance is. So let's say that in the early part of 2020, around, you know, this time a year ago, you completed a stage two audit and received your certification. So now it's coming up on your first surveillance audit following initial certification. Now, the 17021 standard in section 9133 states that that first surveillance audit needs to be done no more than 12 months from the certification decision date. So in other words, the date that your certificate was issued. ID3 says that as long as sufficient evidence has been collected, providing confidence that the certified management system is effective, consideration can be given to postpone the first surveillance for a period not normally exceeding 6 months. Now, we're going to go over what's meant by sufficient evidence in just a couple of slides here. So bear this one in mind. Now, if what you have coming up is a surveillance audit. Now, so again, same scenario. Let's say that you went through an audit in January, February last year, and it was an annual surveillance audit. By the book, PJR can do your surveillance audit anytime in the calendar year 2021 and still be within the requirements. So the example that's given here is if you had an audit in January 2019, you could have another audit in July 2020. Now, what's important to bear in mind with that is because you are going to, in that situation, you're going to have an expiring certificate the following year, you're going to have two audits that are very close together. So that's important to keep in mind, but you can push things out a bit. Now, in situations where the audit cannot be performed in the calendar year, we again have some flexibility there depending on the circumstances. Okay, and lastly, if what you have coming up is a recertification assessment. Now, again, we have similar verbiage here to what we looked at two slides ago. Recertification assessments are mandated that they have to take place prior to the expiry of the client certificate. And that's found in 17021, section 963. Now, in extreme circumstances, that is understood to mean that the audit itself has to be completed prior to certificate expiry. And what that means, obviously, is that there's going to be a lapse in the certificate. So what ID3 says here, again, this is very similar to what we saw two slides ago. If sufficient evidence has been collected to provide confidence that the certified management system is effective, consideration may be given to extend the certification for a period not normally exceeding 6 months beyond the original expiry date. So what do they mean by sufficient evidence to provide confidence? If we take a little bit of a deeper dive into ID3, it says, if the risk is low and based on collected information, the certification assessment body, PJR, can consider alternative short-term methods to verify continuing system effectiveness. This may include requesting relevant documentation to be reviewed off-site. You'll note that says off-site, to determine continuing suitability of the certification. And they give management review, corrective action, internal audit, and inspection results as the primary examples of what we would be reviewing in an off-site fashion. So to put this in plain English, if we decide that a certification audit is not possible, PJR is permitted to review certain information provided via email or file share and make one of two decisions. If it's your first surveillance assessment following initial certification, we can decide to delay it by up to 6 months. If it is a recertification and you have an expiring certificate, we can decide to extend your current certificate by up to 6 months. So these are cards that we have to play if that's the situation you find yourself in and a virtual audit cannot be done. Now, as mentioned earlier, you have to bear in mind that if it is concluded that a virtual assessment is possible, the audit has to be done virtually. Now, that analysis is being done on a case-by-case basis using the F108 ICT. Now, we have had, for certain situations, both client and auditor reach out and say, we still want to have an on-site audit. That is absolutely fine. If you are not comfortable with the remote audit process and you and your auditor can come to terms on what is necessary to make both sides feel safe conducting an on-site audit, absolutely PJR has no objection. So what we're going to do now over the next several slides is go over the protocol that PJR follows for assessing possibility and then completing the virtual audit. Now, this protocol is to be considered available for all of the scopes that I've listed here. This is just about all of them. As of October 2020, ITF 16949 audits can also be done virtually, but the process by which they are approved is quite a bit different. We actually have a separate webinar presentation for just ITF 16949 remote audits. If you are in the R2, FSSC, or AS91 series of standards, there are aspects of those audits that can be done remotely as well. If you've got questions on any of these or your particular case, the best thing for you to do is going to be to reach out to your scheduler to discuss what your options are going to be. So everything begins with the F108 ICT. This is a document that will be sent to you by your scheduler. It's possible that you may also have your auditor reach out to you. if the auditor feels that you're a good candidate for a remote audit. Now, once the F108 ICT is turned into PJR, it's going to be sent to our virtual audit assessment team. We actually have three of these, one for QMS-based scopes, one for environmental scopes, and a special sub-team for the aerospace scopes. And the decision that's made is going to take one of three possible forms. It's going to be concluded that the whole audit can be done virtually, 100%. A portion of the audit can be done virtually. You can think of this as a hybrid audit, or the rare decision that none of the audit can be conducted virtually. Now, once the decision has been made, the team will then advise the scheduler and request that a date be set for the virtual portion of the audit. Now, if you've had dates that were prior held for an on-site assessment, obviously we're going to try to take advantage of those dates. If what we're talking about is a hybrid audit, where a part of the audit is going to be done virtually and a part of the audit is going to be done on-site, all of that will be scheduled at the same time. Obviously, if the on-site portion to be done later needs to be rescheduled, that can be accommodated as needed. Now, once the virtual audit arrangements are made, a member of the team will then create the virtual meeting using GoToMeeting. Now, this can also be done by the auditor. Several of our auditors now have their own assigned GoToMeeting accounts, and they are setting up their own GoToMeetings for their clients. If you have a multiple day audit, it's important to note that each of the days of the audit will be treated as a separate meeting. That's just how GoToMeeting is formatted. If GoToMeeting is not going to be used, it is then dependent on the client to make the virtual communication arrangements. If you are setting things up through Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatnot, you've indicated then that you will manage that part of it. And I'd like to share that GoToMeeting happens to have a very good smartphone app that can make things a little bit easier for the shop floor assessments. Now, once the arrangements are made, an email will be sent to the client and to the auditor, unless the auditor is the one handling the arrangements. And it'll include the access link for getting into the virtual meeting on the day of the audit. Now, those instructions will include a link. The link will give you a chance to kind of test out your system. We encourage you to do that. We encourage you to make sure that your system is ready on the day of the audit. Make sure your microphone's working, speaker's working, and so forth. Now, one of the more important things for a successful remote audit is going to be an audit plan. The auditors have been told rather strenuously, let's put it that way, they've been strenuously advised that they need to be preparing detailed audit plans. For many of our clients, many of you on the webinar today, we recognize that a lot of you have teams of people that are also working virtually, whole teams that are working from home. So it's reasonable for you to expect that the audit plan is going to help you coordinate your team. So have high expectations for that audit plan and review it very carefully when you get it. That's going to make sure that your team is ready on audit day. Now, when we review a F108 ICT, one of the things that we are trying to do on surveillance assessments is we are trying as best we are able to move the production areas out of the remote audit, if we can. Now, that's not always an option, but if, for example, You had an on-site audit last year, and now you want to go remote this year. And say production was assessed last year. Well, now we can push that out because it was reviewed already. You know, the things that lend themselves to remote assessment, I've got a lot of them on the screen here. The administrative areas, you know, management review, corrective action, reviewing the organization's website, and so forth. If we can limit the risk inherent in the remote assessment, we certainly try to do so in how we set things up for the audit. Now, a lot of the more recent virtual audits that we've done have included a virtual assessment of the production area. And one of the bits of feedback that we've had from our audit team is how helpful it is to have a shop floor plan or a shop floor map, something that they can refer to know what part of the plant they're in. If you happen to have that, that's something that can be shared with the client, or with the auditor rather, excuse me, as a means of helping them prepare. If you want to share a list of procedures or work instructions even with your auditor, that can potentially also be helpful. So bear that in mind. Now, when we get to audit day, we recommend that you access the GoToMeeting session at least 10 to 15 minutes in advance of the scheduled start time, just to make sure that you're logged in and ready to go when the auditor initiates the audit on their end. Now, GoToMeeting is set up to host all kinds of folks at once. You can have, I think it's up to 100 people at one time on a GoToMeeting session without it being an issue. So let's go over how GoToMeeting works now, kind of step by step from your perspective. Now, when you click the link in the email, you're going to be directed to the GoToMeeting website, and you will most likely be asked to download the installer. So I've given you a screenshot here of what that installer looks like. So if you get something like this, you click Save File, and it will self-install on your computer. Now, once you've installed the software, you can enter the access code that was provided to you in the email from PJR and just click Join. Now, once you've inputted the access code, you're going to be directed to input your information so that the auditor knows who you are, your name, your email address, and so forth. Now, once the meeting has started, you'll need to make sure that your audio and visual settings are working properly. Now, generally, just about any computer with a built-in microphone will work sufficiently. You may find it optimal to use a computer headset just so that you can hear the auditor crisp and clear, and the auditor can hear you crisp and clear. Now, if there is no good audio option available for the GoToMeeting interface, you can use a cell phone or a landline and just mute the computer. That's also considered an acceptable option. Now, we do recommend that you run, excuse me, a microphone check using the sound check feature. I've circled it on the left here where that's found on the interface. And then on the right, you can test both your speakers and your microphone. I do encourage you to do that. Now, once all of the technical aspects have been tested out, the auditor will complete their standard kickoff, the opening meeting, and so forth. And once that's finished, the auditor is going to determine who needs to be made presenter. Now, that is to say, okay, who has the floor and is going to then share content for the auditor to review. So this is the interface from the perspective of the auditor. Now, if the auditor selects you, you're going to have a pop-up that looks a lot like this. Now, if you've got multiple screens like I do, you can select one screen or both, and then you'll click that share button in the lower right-hand portion of the screen. Now, once you have shared your screen, we do encourage you to utilize the share screen clean feature. So this will help you avoid any unwanted information leaks. Now remember, it is vital to the integrity of the audit process that random sampling be utilized in performing these assessments. The screen sharing is intended to make it feasible for your auditor to review your screen and select the items they want to review during the audit. To the fullest extent possible, our auditors need to select their own audit samples as if they were sitting there with you in person. Again, offsite and virtual auditing are not the same thing. Now, when the virtual audit is complete, you'll simply click the X in the upper right-hand portion of the interface. It'll ask you if you wish to leave the meeting. You'll click yes and exit right out. Now, a couple of optional features if you wish to use them. First, if you want to use video share features so that your auditor can see you, obviously you have to have a computer with a webcam built in. You'll simply click the webcam link in the GoToMeeting interface to get it set up. Now, this is optional. It's not required by PJR or by the industry. Now, additionally, if you wish to minimize the interface tool, if you want to shrink it so that you can see more of your screen or get access to more of your screen, you will click the double arrow that I've got circled here in the picture. That'll shrink the interface so that you can get to more of your screen. Now, as mentioned earlier, we are absolutely willing to work with all of the other virtual meeting platforms, Zoom, Skype for Business, Microsoft Teams, Google Meet, and so forth. If that is the case, our presumption is then that you, the auditee, are going to be responsible for managing the interface. And again, the only platform that we do not accept is the free personal version of Skype. Now, in terms of audit report expectations, if the full audit was done virtually and there is no on-site portion to be done, you should expect to receive the audit report, the full audit package, in accordance with PJR's established policy. So business as usual, basically. Your audit report, your non-conformances, your audit plan, all of these things should be turned over to you. Now, if you are going to be assessed with a hybrid audit, where a portion of the audit is going to be virtual and a portion of the audit is going to be on site, you will not receive your complete audit report until the on-site portion is done, until the audit is done, basically. Now, we do provide documented verification that the virtual portion was complete for any client that happens to need it. We do try to keep those hybrid audits to an absolute minimum. In terms of NCRs, it is business as usual. Any NCR that's issued in a virtual audit follows our standard protocol. You'll still be expected to prepare the full response, the correction, the root cause analysis, extent analysis, etc. If a nonconformance is issued in a hybrid audit, you cannot simply fix it in the time between the virtual and on-site portion. We would still require the full documented response. Any timing requirements are also still in effect, 60 days, etc., from the full completion of the audit. And obviously, we do have sector-specific rules in some cases on timeliness of response, and those still are applicable. Now, as I mentioned earlier, in surveillance assessments, we are trying to limit risk by directing that shop floor activities be not included in the audit assessment. However, we do not have that luxury for stage two or recertification audits. So accordingly, this is why we are asking if you have the means to support a remote assessment of your shop floor. Now, if you respond positively, even with some reservations, you're going to be recommended for a 100% virtual recertification or stage two audit. Now, we are providing headsets to try to facilitate that process. We're encouraging our clients, make sure that you have, you know, if you're going out there with a cell phone, have a backup. Make sure that you have the means to continue the audit if your primary hardware fails or if your primary software fails. We are committed to ensuring a continuance of certification for our valued clients. We absolutely thank you all for your part in making sure that auditing can continue in this most difficult time. I'd like to invite you to tune in for one of our other webinars. As I mentioned earlier, we have a special webinar on just IATF remote auditing. This presentation also covers the new Common Audit Report Application, or CARA. A lot of things going on in the automotive auditing world right now. We have a very popular presentation called The Interaction of Processes and Its Importance to a Successful Audit. This covers processes and how to correctly understand them. And we have presentations on a wide variety of other topics, corrective actions, stage one audits, multiple standards, and so forth. If you'd like to be kept informed of the latest news automatically, the best way for you to do that is to utilize our opt-in feature. And if you go to www.pgr.com, go to the bottom of the page on the home screen there, input your email address and click subscribe. You will be opted in for automatic news updates, updates on new webinars, and other points of information. I do thank you for your time. I'm going to go ahead and unlock the question portion of the dashboard. If you want to get a copy of this presentation, again, the slides will be available for download shortly after we are finished. If you want to rewatch this again with the voiceover, we'll be making the voiceover presentation available on our YouTube page. Okay, so let's see if we have any questions today. Scott Zimmerman is asking about ISO 17025 assessments. Those are handled by PJR Laboratories. Scott, you'll have to reach out to your contact at PJL. Kristen Brisch is asking, we store all of our documents on Google Drive. Will we meet the on-site virtual requirements for document review? Absolutely. Yeah, if that's where your documents are kept, that's fine. The intent is that your auditor would review those items synchronously with you as if they were sitting there in the facility. Mauricio Rosalon is asking, what have been best and worst experiences in virtual auditing? What are pitfalls? What are best practices? Mauricio, our experience has been, for the most part, it's been a positive experience, both for auditor and for client. Preparedness is key. Good audit plans, backups for both software and hardware, and so forth. Those are the real keys, I would say. Any other questions today? Okay, well, I thank you all for your time and attention. Wish you all the best. Thank you.